studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz. You're listening to Earth First Radio. Stay tuned for No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music.
You're cutting chainsaws, killing the trees, softening everything that lives in peace. Our animal friends are on the run, but there's nowhere to go when the job is done. All takes place. We've got to stop this inhuman race. No compromise. No compromise. No compromise. No compromise. No compromise in defense of Mother
And welcome to Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis. Each week I bring you No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music for activists on the front lines of the environmental movement. In the news, you'll hear about corporations, government agencies, and people who are killing the planet, and also about folks who have the detailed information about saving what's left. They all have names, addresses, phone numbers, fax numbers, email, or web addresses, so please get a pencil or a pen and some recycled paper to write down the information that you're about to hear, because this isn't couch potato radio, it's activist radio, and I'm asking you to take down the information and act on it. You really can make a difference by writing letters, sending faxes, and making phone calls when you aren't out in the woods, up in a tripod or a tree sit, or locked down at the Dragon in the road blockade. If you do have news, information, comments, or announcements for Earth First Radio, please keep that pencil handy, and I'll give out some contact information in the latter half of the show. Let's start off with announcements. That's the big one, folks. The annual Everyone from All Over the Planet, the Earth First Round River Rendezvous. It's going to be happening July 7th through the 16th in the Grand Tetons of Wyoming. So mark your calendars, July 7th through the 16th in the Tetons of Wyoming. There's some talk about some buses from California, so I'll try and get you more information about that later on. Do reserve that second week of July. There's a new tree sit in the Bloomington, Indiana area. This tree sit is in addition to the one in the Bloomington West Side. The new one is in the Yellowwood State Forest. It's a beautiful site. Folks putting it up are calling for people to come out and help keep the site safe from the chainsaws. That's all the news I have from Buffalo Trace Earth First, but get yourself to Bloomington, Indiana. Get in touch with Bloomington Earth First and Buffalo Trace Earth First. They've been a busy week. They've been having their week of action, and here's a news story about one of their actions. Buffalo Trace Earth First shuts down the old new Navy store. Buffalo Trace Earth First blocked the entrance of the new old Navy store in Bloomington, Indiana last week in protest of the company's logging of old-growth redwoods and their use of sweatshop labor. Two people pulled a car in front of the doors and U-locked their necks to the car to prevent it from moving, effectively bringing business to a halt. The Old Navy blockade ended when the manager of the Old Navy store threatened to tow the truck off with them attached and break their necks. Yes, he did say that. And then the police came and cut the protesters out with the jaws of life and let them go. There were no arrests. The demonstration was part of the week of resistance that began on with a critical mass bike ride last Friday. Mike Andrews is still being held in jail in Bloomington on felony battery charges stemming from the critical mass bike ride. The Donald Fisher family, which owns the Old Navy Gap and Banana Republic chain store outlets, is as well as the Mendocino Redwood Company, they have been the subject of an international campaign to convince the corporation to stop using sweatshop labor and stop liquidating California's redwood forests. Quote, it's unbelievable that a company that makes hundreds of millions of dollars off of teenage girls' labor also owns 230,000 acres of forest in Mendocino County, California, and is liquidating every last bit of it, said Kevin Seconds. This is having terrible consequences for the environment and for people, too. Protesters say that it is because of the role of corporations in the globalization process that this is able to occur. Because of global economic powerhouses such as the World Bank and WTO, the Fisher family is able to go virtually unregulated in poorer countries and in the U.S. alike, according to Chris Trey. Surely these business practices would not be tolerated if the workers were in control of their labor or the residents of Mendocino County controlled how their county community managed the land. What we have here is a classic example of people and the planet being run over by the whims of those with money and privilege, said Marie Mason, one of those who locked herself to a car. Endangered species such as the coho salmon are in danger of going to extinction because of the logging practices Donald Fisher employs. Young women are being kept in barbed wire barracks and being forced to work up to 70 hours a week sewing garments for the company that they could not even afford themselves with a week's labor. It is time that this company changes its practices or it will be shut down. And bad news from Portland. The Earth Liberation Front press office has been raided. At about 6 a.m. on the morning of April 5th, well over a dozen federal agents raided the house, workplace, and two vehicles associated with the North American Earth Liberation Front press office in Portland, Oregon. Named on the search warrant were Leslie Pickering, Elaine Close, and Craig Rosebrough. Authorities from the FBI, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, and the Oregon State Police claim to be searching for evidence into a recent $1 million sport utility vehicle arson at a car dealership in Eugene. The agents remained at the house for some time, picking through North American ELF press office possessions. They then boxed up the computer systems and took them away, repeating the confiscation that occurred in a previous raid. In a statement from Leslie James, quote, "We really could use any donations possible, especially good computer systems. Obviously, we do not enjoy this, but it will have little effect on the North American Earth Liberation Front press office, and we will be functioning as usual." No arrests had been made by the time Earth First Radio went on the air, and Earth First Radio will bring you updates on this as soon as they are available. You can send any donations to the North American Earth Liberation Front Press Office, Resistance Publications, P.O. Box 4783, Portland, Oregon, 97217. That's North American Earth Liberation Front Press Office and Resistance Publications, P.O. Box 4783, Portland, Oregon, 97217. Or give them a call at 503-478-0902. That's 503-478-0902. And in Earth Liberation Front action this week, Earth Liberation Front spikes trees in Virginia timber. Saboteurs claiming to be part of a radical environmental group have driven hundreds of steel spikes into trees on a northern neck timber tract, hoping to stop logging there. Alex Coughlin, vice president of Rock Hill Lumber in Culpeper, Virginia, said the company may have to spend an additional $30,000 to $40,000 using metal detectors and taking other safety precautions when it runs the lumber through the sawmill next month. But Coughlin said he's determined to harvest the timber no matter what the expense. "They haven't discouraged us," he said. "It's just made us that much more bullheaded. That place belongs to us." "Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Coughlin, but that place belongs to all of us." A group claiming to be part of the Earth Liberation Front left signs throughout the 300-acre tract in Westmoreland County, Virginia, this month, warning loggers of the spikes. The spikes do not hurt the trees, but they can damage chainsaws and injure sawmill workers. And I want to thank the Washington Post for most of that article. Here's news from Idaho. Boise Cascade protest closes downtown street. Three were arrested for hanging banner from a rooftop. The story written by Patrick Orr of the Idaho Statesman. Out-of-town visitors Jennifer Krill and Wayne Miller came to downtown Boise last week to hang around and protest Boise Cascade's logging practices. They also got to visit the Ada County Jail. Two San Francisco Bay Area residents were arrested and charged with trespassing and unlawful assembly, both misdemeanors, after breaking into Jefferson Place at 350 North 9th Street, rappelling off the roof and unfurling a 60-foot by 30-foot banner that read, "Cascade, an American disgrace," and refusing to come down from the building's face. Also arrested was Gary Hughes, 34, of Missoula, Montana, who aided the rappellers from the roof. A large crowd of morning pedestrians and people from neighboring businesses watched the action unfold beginning at 10:30 in the morning. Ms. Krill initially got tangled up in her lines, falling down several feet and hanging upside down. She eventually righted herself and climbed back up near the roof. It took the rappellers near about 30 minutes to figure out how to unfurl the banner to scattered cheers, and then another 30 minutes to be removed from the side of the building by the Boise Fire Department. The 300 block of 9th Street was closed to traffic until noon. Quote, "We are protesting the logging of old-growth forests by Boise Cascade," said Michael Bruhn, campaign director of Rainforest Action Network, which took credit for the protest. "This is the kind of peaceful protest we've been doing for years. They should be able to see the sign clearly from their offices across the street." And a Turkish environmentalist has been jailed for upholding a Turkish Supreme Court ruling, in this story by John Gorvet. The leader of one of Turkey's longest-running environmental campaigns was jailed for a year and a half this week Under the country's tough anti-protest laws written by the Turkish military, Akte Konyar is the leader of the villages of Ovacik near Bergama, a modern town around the ancient city of Pergamon in Turkey's Aegean coast. The villagers have been engaged in a campaign against the international gold mining company Eurogold. The company owns a site near Ovacik in which they intend to carry out gold mining using cyanide, that's a deadly poison, to leach gold from the raw ore. Going under the name Asterix for the ancient hero of Gaul immortalized in cartoons, Konyar had long been active in the local movement to stop the mining, which environmentalists and villagers alike fear may cause fatal damage. The villagers fear that the cyanide spill, similar to ones last year in Romania, could harm their environment, especially their water supply. A year ago, the villagers were celebrating victory in the case when a Turkish Supreme Court ruling upheld the local courts banning Eurogold from operating at the mine. Quote, the courts ruled that the operation could not take place, lawyer Noya Ozkan told Environmental News Service, saying that such mining contravened the right to a clean environment and the right to life, both guaranteed under the Turkish constitution. Yet, earlier this year, the Turkish Prime Ministry gave the go-ahead to Eurogold to begin operations and sent circulars to the relevant ministries and governorships authorizing them to begin work despite the Supreme Court ruling. Quote, I can only say without a doubt that the Prime Minister's instruction is against the law, said Ozkan, the lawyer. The mining has still not begun, although construction work on mining facilities have continued even after the Supreme Court verdict. According to Ozkan, they can start mining whenever they want. Meanwhile, speaking to reporters after the verdict, Konyar reflected on the bizarre twist of the case. It is interesting that I'm being punished, he said, because all I wanted was the implementation of the court decision on Eurogold. Konyar was sentenced to a year and a half in prison, which goes up to a year and 9 months due to a previous 3-month suspended sentence. He said he would appeal the case, which was brought under the demonstration law, a prohibition of the Constitution brought in by the military following a 1980 coup. The cyanide leaching technique, which is often used in gold extraction, has come under increasing attack from environmentalists for the threat it poses to local water supplies, as large pools of cyanide impregnated water have to be collected at the end of the process and stored. Bergama lies within an earthquake zone, and the villagers fear that storage tanks might crack during earth tremors, releasing the poisonous liquids into the local water table. And the Center for Biological Diversity was honored with awards by two prominent scientific organizations for its protection of millions of acres of desert tortoise habitat critical to the California Desert Tortoise Conservation Area. The awards were given by the Desert Tortoise Council, whose board members include prominent federal biologists and members of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's Desert Tortoise Recovery Team and the Desert Tortoise Preserve Committee at the 26th Annual Desert Tortoise Symposium in mid-March. The Desert Tortoise Council recognizes the Center for Biological Diversity for its continued efforts attempting to save the desert tortoise from extinction, said Dr. Mark Graff, DTC's senior co-chair. Specifically, we recognize the center's outstanding efforts for conservation throughout the Southwest and the nation. We recognize the key role that the center has played in persuading government agencies to enforce their own rules and regulations on the land that they manage, said Dr. Michael Connor, executive director of the Desert Tortoise Protection Committee. The threatened tortoise is a direct beneficiary of the recent settlement between the Center and the Bureau of Land Management. The species will also benefit from the fresh impetus placed on efforts to ensure recovery of the tortoise in California engendered by the settlement. The Center has dramatically increased wildlife and ecosystem protection across the Sonoran, Mojave, and Great Basin deserts, including 3.5 million acres of designated desert tortoise critical habitat. It recently negotiated a legal settlement protecting 1.9 million acres of that area from livestock grazing, ceasing new and expanded mining on 3.5 million acres, including closure of the largest active mine in the national park system, banning off-road vehicles from 550,000 acres, closing 4,500 miles of harmful roads on 874,000 acres, compelling the BLM to complete ecosystem management plans and elevating conservation management of the desert to make wildlife, wilderness, clean water, and natural quiet the top priorities. If you'd like to find out more about California's Center's Desert Conservation Area Campaign, visit www.biologicaldiversity.org. And Uncle Dennis absolutely goes along with that award. The Center for Biological Diversity is one of the most kick-ass legal teams in the world. And the largest rainforest conservation measure in North American history has been announced. The government of British Columbia, in coordination with environmental organizations, logging companies, and First Nations of Canada, have announced the largest rainforest conservation measure in North American history. Some 3.5 million acres, an area four times the size of Rhode Island, of ancient rainforest will be immediately protected or put into deferral. This region, referred to as the Great Bear Rainforest, is a wildlife hotspot and is considered one of North America's biological gems. The agreement culminates what has at times been a contentious and highly confrontational dialogue, but represents a rare example of successful collaboration among industry, environmentalists, native peoples, rural communities, and government. Rainforest Ethics, Rainforest Action Network, and the Natural Resources Defense Council have targeted U.S. customers of the British Columbia logging industry in a successful effort to transform the wood product marketplace and stem the tide of wood from ancient rainforests. Pressure has also come from major customers in Europe and Japan. Forest protection organizations commenting on today's announcements called on concerned U.S. corporations to help ensure that as the plan is implemented over the next 2 years, as it translates into protection for the remaining intact rainforest valleys and the region's biodiversity. The Great Bear Rainforest is the largest remaining contiguous temperate rainforest in the world. It is home to the extremely rare and endangered wildlife, including the white spirit bears, grizzly bears, salmon, and eagles. Despite its ecological and recreational value, nearly every intact watershed on the British Columbia coast has been slated for road building or clear-cut logging over the next decade. The National Resources Defense Council recently named the Great Bear Rainforest one of the 12 threatened biogems of North and Central America. BioGEMS initiative targets wildlands of exceptional natural values that are threatened with extinction. If you'd like more information, contact Michael Brune of the Rainforest Action Network Campaign Director. His number, 415-398-4404. That's 415-398-4404. And the world's most destructive bank is feeling the heat. All across the country, people have been standing up to the world's most destructive bank, Citigroup. People are sick of Citigroup using their money from credit cards, mortgages, student loans, and other accounts to fund worldwide destruction of the environment. Citigroup has absolutely no social or environmental standard and is one of the major funders of logging, mining, and oil projects on fragile ecosystems around the world. From mining in the Amazon to clear-cutting in Indonesia, from funding ExxonMobil's Chad-Cameroon pipeline to China's mega Three Gorges Dam, Citigroup makes a profit at the expense of human rights and the environment. Citigroup is definitely feeling the pressure these days. Since last fall, when demonstrations against Citigroup were held in 50 U.S. cities, thousands of concerned citizens have cut up their Citibank credit cards and canceled their accounts. On Valentine's Day, Citibank received hundreds of cards and phone calls urging the company to have a heart and show the planet some love by no longer funding destructive activities. As one of the largest corporations in the world with assets over $700 billion, that's with a B, Citigroup is setting the rules of the global economy. Currently, this means maximizing profits regardless of the cost to world's forests, human rights, and the climate and local communities. Join us in building a broad-based, diverse citizens' movement to force Wall Street to go beyond the bottom line and stop investing in destruction. The planet is running out of time. We need a democratic, just, and ecologically sane global economy, and we need it now. So vote against corporate destruction by cutting up your Citibank credit card and sending it to Citi CEO Sandy Wheel. If you aren't a Citi customer, send them a Citi customer until they clean up their act. Contact Citigroup and tell them you won't do business with them. Their number, 1-800-456-4277, that's 1-800-456-4277, or call their public affairs director, Mark Rogers. His number, 718-248-1092, that's 718-248-1092. If you have a Citibank credit card, cut it up and send it to Mr. Sandy Wheel, that's W-E-I-L-L, Chairman and CEO of Citigroup, 153 East 53rd Street, New York, New York, 10043. That address again, Mr. Sandy Wheel, Chairman and CEO of Citigroup, 153 East 53rd Street, 153 East 53rd Street, New York, New York, 10043. Or you can send him an email at investorrelations@citi.com. That's investorrelations@citi.com. And April 11th, next Wednesday, is an International Day of Action Against Citigroup. This is your chance to organize a demonstration, vigil, informational picket, guerrilla theater, or nonviolent direct action at a city office nearest you. That includes Citibank, Travelers Insurance, and SmithKline Barney. Contact Rainforest Action Network for an organizer's action packet and ideas for a creative action. Send email to becca@rand.org, that's BEKA@rand.org, or dial them up at 1-888-840-6416, that's 1-888-840-6416, or go to www.rand.org and go into their campaigns area and download the information. Here's an alert on the fee demo. The House Interior Appropriations Subcommittee is accepting written testimony with a deadline of Monday, April 16th on matters pertaining to America's public lands and their funding. We need lots of letters to this subcommittee mailed by Thursday, April 12th to demonstrate a growing controversy over the recreational fee demo program and the fees it authorizes for our use of our own public lands. This subcommittee has, in a nutshell, created an extended fee demo so far. That's where you get to pay to park in national forests. But due to Republican term limits for subcommittee chairs in the House of Representatives, Representative Ralph Regula of Ohio, the architect of fee demo, is no longer the chairman. The new chairman, Representative Joe Skeen of New Mexico, does not have the same public lands agenda as his predecessor, Ralph Regula. It is therefore vitally important to let Joe Skeen know how unpopular fee demo is with the American people and to ask for increased recreation funding for the U.S. Forest Service so that national forest trails and campgrounds could be adequately maintained without user fees. If we demonstrate to Joe Skeen that the fee demo won't be made permanent without considerable effort, he may well back off. Please write now to stop forest fees. Instructions below must be followed closely for your letter to be part of the record. Please write a brief letter on an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper and submit 5 unfolded identical copies to the address below and mail them by Thursday, April 12th. Once again, your letter must be on an 8.5 by 11 inch sheet of paper. You must have 5 copies of it, and they must not be folded, so you need a big envelope. Here's the address. Send them to Congressman Joe Skeen, House Interior Appropriations Subcommittee, B308 Rayburn, Washington, D.C., 20515. That address again, Congressman Joe Skeen, S-K-E-E-N, House Interior Appropriations Subcommittee, B as in boy, 308 Rayburn, I believe that's Rayburn Building, Washington, D.C., 20515. Here's what to say. Write your name and address clearly at the top. Please state your opposition to forest fees in a polite letter. Ask the subcommittee to increase Forest Service recreation budgets by $50 million to maintain national forest trails and campgrounds all year round without visitor fees. Ask that your letter or be put as part of the record of public witness testimony on April 16th. Please note, and this is important, the Interior Appropriations Subcommittee will only accept letters on 8.5 by 11 paper, unfolded, and you must include 5 copies. So please do that by next Thursday, April 12th, so your letters will arrive by April 16th. And here's a little newsletter I got from Wilderness Watch. They want to let me know that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has released its new draft Wilderness Stewardship Policy for public comment, and public comment must be received by April 19th. Strongly support wilderness stewardship rather than wilderness management. We need to retain wilderness character with humility and restraint in management practices. Strongly support the emphasis on wilderness character, especially the definition in Exhibit 3. Strongly support the excellent definition of solitude and emphasis on protecting it as an important wilderness value. Support a stringent non-degradation policy for wilderness. Support a broad range of wilderness values. Support strong management of wilderness study areas so that they may become wilderness. Where do you write? You send your comments to National Wildlife Refuge System, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, 4401 North Fairfax, Room 670, that's 670, Arlington, Virginia, 22203. That address, once again, National Wildlife Refuge System, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, 4401 North Fairfax, Room 670, Arlington, Virginia, 22203. If you'd like to send them a fax, you can. That's area code 703-358-2248. That's 703-358-2248. Let's protect our wildlife refuges as wilderness. Good thing to do. Here's a little notice of a celebration going on. The Cascadia Forest Alliance is going to be celebrating 2 years in the trees. It's a benefit. Come out with the Cascadia Forest Alliance and celebrate our continued success at halting the logging of the Eagle Creek timber sale. Thanks to your continued support of our dedicated activists, we will continue the struggle to protect this precious watershed for generations to come. When? Friday, April 20th from 7:30 until whenever at Conan's Pub at the corner of Southeast 39th and Hawthorne in Portland. Once again, that's April 20th at 7:30 at Conan's Pub, Southeast 39th at Hawthorne in Portland, Oregon. Sliding scale admission for $5 on up. More information at 503-241-4879. That's 503-241-4879. And we'll have more information about all that stuff a little later on. We're going to take a little musical break here and listen to this tune by Robert Hoyt. This one's called Swamp.
People think you've been in some mighty wild places, high mountain tops and in wide open spaces. I don't care where you choose to romp, but you ain't seen nothing till you've been in the swamp. Where the black bear frolics and the barred owl talks, some people say that the panther still walks. Watch out for your kids, watch out for your dog. Don't step there, that ain't no log. Swamp, swamp, the swamp is alive. Swamp, swamp, we survive. Listen to the frogs and listen to your fear. It says a city living human ain't got no business here. A cottonmouth moccasin comes swimming by you. The stories I've heard, well, I hope they aren't true. To die in the swamp ain't no crime. The mosquitoes haul you off and drop a blood at a time. Swamp, swamp, the swamp is alive. Swamp, swamp, we survive. You think you're gonna live and you know you're gonna die, cause the wild pig is staring you right straight in the eye. For mercy you beg, cause there's a snake up in the trees big around as your leg.
And that's Robert Hoyt off his Mind's Eye CD, and you're listening to Uncle Dennis on Earth First Radio, and we'll be right back. Stay tuned.